is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Common sense has been kind of pushed out of society, and it's not common anymore. So don't expect everyone has it. It's gone. Now we need to bring the Word of God into people's lives and bring some sense that's not so common back into the equation. Otherwise, we're like the Scripture says, we're lost. So things like coarse joking. Someone who used to joke a lot, coarse jokes, they need to realize that it's not necessarily evil. No one's calling it evil, but it compromises your witness, which the Lord is also interested in protecting your witness.
If you love someone, it's only natural to want to communicate with them. The key to a close relationship with God is spending time in His Word. In today's message, Pastor Troy reminds us that God is alive in us. He's promised to be our helper in every situation. He is your closest friend. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." We don't have to wait like they did for the Holy Spirit, because this was the first outpouring. We receive the Holy Spirit upon that encounter where we say, "I believe. I will follow you." He says, "Good, you're going to need something." And He gives us His Holy Spirit, a guarantee of our inheritance and the power to do anything. You think of anything you think you can't do and that God's asked you to do, and you're the one who's wrong. You can do it. Anything, but I don't have enough strength. Then He didn't ask you to do it. Or you have enough strength. Both cannot be true. So we wait for this power from on high, but now we get the Holy Spirit right away. We don't have to go off and go, "All right, I'm waiting for the power, waiting for the power, waiting for the power." You have it. However, we do need to spend time with the Lord each and every day we go. Wherever we go, we need to be filled again, refreshed in the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit prepares you. The Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit can put things in your path and in your mind so that you have the right perspective going into something. And you're not caught off guard. You're prepared for it. He gives you what you should say. You don't have to be afraid of that. He teaches you, and the Holy Spirit is the one who causes you to bear fruit. If you're trying to bear fruit of your own abilities and own natural talent and charisma, that's going to be false fruit and shallow fruit, by the way. If I tried to build this work on my charisma, first, it wouldn't go anywhere. But second, if I did, then what happens when something happens to me? The church falls apart. But if it's built on Christ, then guess what? You know, of course we hate losing people. We hate things that happen. But if I'm removed, we're fine. We're to build on Christ, not on people. And the Holy Spirit causes us to bear fruit, real fruit. This is a time in the morning with the Lord that we need. It's one morning staff meeting you don't want to miss. And how often we do. There's a little book, I think we have some still, but it's a great one to have around. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it's a devotional little book, and it talks about how we've invited Christ in, and there are different rooms and different activities in different rooms, and the Lord wants to minister to all of those areas, but then there's this little closet that we have. It's like, you can do anything, Lord, but don't have this closet. And it's a great little devotional book. But in one of the stories, the guy is talking about, you know, getting in a hurry in life, and he's rushing out the door every day to work, doesn't have a whole lot of time. And finally, one day, just out of the corner of his eye, he sees Jesus in there in the front room, in the living room or wherever, as he's going out the door, and he stops and he goes, oh, wait a minute, we haven't really been getting together. And I was the one who invited you, and I've been neglecting you. And so Jesus' words were, you know, I'm here every morning. I am here. I'm here with you. I long to be with you and to spend time with you and to communicate with you. But you haven't had time for me. How sad that is for a people who, to walk by faith, we depend on Him. To be able to walk by faith, we depend on Him. Not on our past experience, not on someone else's experience, but on our relationship with Him. And so it seems critical, essential, that we would invest in that relationship, especially early in the mornings. Jesus gives some detail as to what's involved in making disciples. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say, this is not about saturation as much as it is about identification. In other words, it's not about the process of getting wet. It's about the process of identification with Him. In the early church, it was ceremonial. It meant, I am going down, I am dying, I'm coming back, and I'm living the life that Christ wants me to live. It's not, okay, I'm baptized, I'm in. Baptism doesn't save you. Not being baptized doesn't cause you not to go to heaven. But it's an identification process with Him. It's a public identification process, not just in your heart. You know, not to go, if you believe in your heart, don't say anything, then you're saved. Shh. Shh. Yeah, but I want to glorify the Lord. It's private. Do it yourself. It's not a private thing. It's a public thing. We are different, and people are going to wonder why. And we're not to go, well, just discovered a little secret. Hope you find it, because I don't like the alternative. No, that's not what we do. We say, it's Christ in me. The reason I live this way now is God is alive. Jesus is alive. He leads me. He's transformed me. And I follow Him. And then they go, you're not my friend anymore. And that's just the way it is. But I encourage you to give your life to the Lord. When you do, He's going to be your only friend, it seems like. But there is no closer friend than Jesus. Because when no one else, even your spouse, can understand you and what you're going through, and there are times like that in life, trust me, Jesus can. He understands. And that's a friend who is closer than a brother. He's a good friend, as well as Lord and Savior. I heard the story of a Hindu who was converted over in India, and baptism for them is also an event. It's a public acknowledgement. They don't believe they're saved by the baptismal event. They just know that this is a way to identify themselves with Christ rather than with all of their former gods. And in the process of this event, they don't demean the gods, the other gods. This God's nothing. This God's nothing. They don't do that. But what they say is, I no longer trust in these gods. And he might name the gods, but he says, I believe in the one true and living God. I follow Jesus Christ. The reason they do this is it's a witness. One, publicly, I'm no longer part of that. I follow Christ. And everyone in the town, in the village sees it. It's a spectacle. But it also causes them to watch. Okay, he just said he doesn't follow these other gods that we think sustain us. And he believes in this Jesus. Let's see what happens to him. And nothing happens. They're blessed. And so it's also a witness. Like for some of us, you know, we trust in our savings account. We trust in our education. We trust in so many of these things that make us comfortable. And what we need to do is put these false gods down that don't support us and don't sustain us. And when we do that, and we trust in the Lord, people will go, oh, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen? Are they going to be cursed? Are they going to... And you're blessed. You know, we have insurance. I want to go on the record saying we have health insurance. But before we had health insurance, all these several years, my wife especially didn't have any health insurance. She never got sick ever. As soon as we got health insurance, my wife got sick. We were in the emergency room paying bills. I'm paying more now than I did when I didn't have anything. It's like God sustained us. But I have to have it. So it's amazing when you trust in the Lord, what He does. It's crazy. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Their clothes didn't fall off. Their shoes didn't wear out. That's what God said. He didn't say, and there was a Targa on every corner, you know, a Walmart with a sale. Oh, that's a miracle. And so you go, and that's the miracle. He said, look, you never got anything new, and nothing wore out. That's a miracle. Sometimes that's the miracle God wants to do. So we identify with Him. If you're an undercover Christian, it's time to stop being an undercover Christian. If you've never been baptized, it's time to be baptized, to identify with Christ publicly. I know, maybe you put mousse in your hair. Maybe you got some, people say, are you combing your hair over now? You're losing your hair. No, this is the same hairstyle I had since I was 20. It's just thinner. At some point, I may have one hair I'm combing, but I got it. I'm going to comb that bad boy because I'm still the master, still the servant. But if you've never been baptized, it's time to get baptized. Not only baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Because you know what? When someone gives their life to Christ, they don't all of a sudden know the whole Bible. I know some of us think that. We who've been walking for a long time, they gave their life to the Lord. All right, man. Now they're going to be totally transformed. They're going to come in next week and, like, look at you. Hey, what happened? You're still working that other job. You're still doing this. You're still, did you stay up late last night? You look pretty tired. What's up? I thought you were saved. Like, they don't know much yet. All they know is all they've ever known. God saves them. But He said, you guys, disciple them, teach them, walk with them. It's a long process. Discipling involves teaching who Jesus is, what Jesus has said. It's teaching them how to practically live it out, because not everyone makes that connection either. Do not lust in your hearts after a woman. And then, oh, wait a minute, these kind of shows are bad? Yeah, you didn't make the connection. I didn't. My dad showed me this. My grandfather. This is like tradition. Yeah, it's bad. I didn't know that. You know, not everyone. Common sense has been kind of pushed out of society. And it's not common anymore. So don't expect everyone has it. It's gone. Now we need to bring the Word of God into people's lives and bring some sense that's not so common back into the equation. Otherwise, we're like the Scripture says, we're lost. So, things like coarse joking. Someone who used to joke a lot, coarse jokes. They need to realize that it's not necessarily evil. No one's calling it evil. But it compromises your witness, which the Lord is also interested in protecting. Your witness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 says there should be neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Why? Mostly because of the witness and what it does to your heart. You know, the Scriptures have something to say about a lot of things. Maybe this is why we don't like to read it. Read the scriptures. It talks about gossip. It talks about slander. Slander is when you're talking bad about someone. You're tearing them down, really, slowly but surely. But you're tearing them down. I don't like the way, and they don't, and you're breaking someone down, talking to others. You're not talking to them. You're talking to someone else about them. That's slander. Laziness. Laziness is in the scriptures. Considering others. Thinking of them rather than only thinking of yourself. It speaks about not running around as a busybody, talking to others and hanging out and yap, 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 and going to everybody's house and hanging out and doing the thing when your own home needs to be managed. It talks about working hard with your own hands. And if you don't, you shouldn't eat. The Word of God instructs us in how to pray, how to love, how to build your life on a solid foundation, and how to live a life that glorifies Him, and how to live a life that protects your witness, which is your mission, and so many other things. The purpose of these is not to tear you down, except to build you up, your character, and to preserve your witness. So discipleship involves teaching what the Word says, teaching how to live it out practically, and teaching how to share it effectively, which is word and works, your life. Of course, one of the things Jesus has just commanded is that we share the gospel. So we're to respond, we're to represent, and finally, now what? Relax. Relax. It's not as difficult as some make it. Jesus has now overcome and defeated death according to the law established by God in the beginning. And now He is the Lamb of God who not only is going to die, but died for the sins of the world. And as a result, He has been given the name greater than any other name. And as Jesus says here, I have been given all authority. Why can we relax? Because the one who sends us, the one who watches out for us, the one who calls us, has all authority. Relax. He's in control. He's sovereign. You don't have to hope your team wins. I hope I'm on the winning side. You win. We've read the end. He stated it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 say, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, we're going to talk about Melchizedek as we get into our Hebrews study beginning next week. Next week, we'll actually talk about Melchizedek a little bit also in our introduction. But Jesus is now perfected. And what that means, not that He wasn't perfect before, but He hadn't died yet. That was one thing He hadn't done. So He died. So that He could represent us. He is the Lamb of God. He is the High Priest. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who has all authority to do as He says. And He crushed the head of the serpent. Do you remember where all this started? He has defeated Satan. It's as if the world had been under poor management. We were all under it. We didn't know any different. But now a new manager has come in. He says, I'm starting the business that was intended here. And so anyone who wants to come can come be under my management. You're going to be under that management, or you're going to be under my management. And I'm a good manager. I'm a good Lord. I'm a good shepherd. So you have a choice to make. We can relax because He has authority, but we can relax also because He said, I am always with you. We're never alone. The disciples were learning that Jesus wasn't always going to be with them physically, but He also promised them that He wouldn't leave them alone as orphans. He would send a helper, the Holy Spirit, and that He would come back to them. As in John 14, 15 through 18, He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He, the helper, notice the helper is referred to as a He, not an it, the Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus goes on in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The thing about the Helper is this. He's concerned about the will of God, not your will. The Helper is not your assistant, your personal assistant. Like, come on, Helper. Come on, Holy Spirit. Be with me. Go with me, Holy Spirit. I call the Holy Spirit. I claim this and I claim that. No, the Holy Spirit says, here's what God wants to do. Let's go. He's speaking to your heart. And so you can either go, oh, I'm going over here. Or you can go, okay, if I want help, if I want power, then I am going to do what he wants me to do. Because that's where the Helper comes in. Because God asks us to do things at times we don't really have the ability to do. Sometimes we don't really have the strength or the emotional strength to do it. And yet God enables us in that work that he has asked us to do. That's the Helper. And he gives you the words to say. He gives you what you need in that time. But you can't expect that he's going to be there for you, giving you all that insight and that wisdom when you just go out there on your own doing what you want to do. Because his plan is to fulfill the will of God in and through your life. And it's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, because we're not alone. You have one who is in you trying to calibrate your moral compass. We've learned certain things. And he's trying to get in there and go, that's not right. That's not right. That's inaccurate. No, we need to get rid of that. But he doesn't get rid of that. No, but you need to get rid of that. So I'm not worried about him, except the me that's in him. But I'm worried about you. And he is working in you, working on your heart, that moral compass, so that you can hear the Lord clearly without hindrance. So you never have to be, as the Bible calls, lost. So we finish the Gospel of Matthew. Now what? Well, respond. What does God want? Give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Also represent. Don't forget to represent. You're an ambassador of Christ if you are his. Don't be an undercover Christian. It's too easy to live a life of sin as an undercover Christian. I liken it to when I first put that ichthys, that little fish, on my car. I didn't realize all the consequences of that. You know, like all of a sudden you're doing like you normally do. You're whipping and this guy upsets you and you zip in front of him. It's like, oh man, he sees the fish. Without the fish, he doesn't know me. He doesn't go to my church, doesn't know anything. But now I got the fish. There's just something about accountability that's good for us. You need it. Don't be an undercover Christian. Because without that fish, I would have never thought that. I mean, I pulled into, we were going to go to a bar one time, and I pulled in and I got out and I saw my fish, like, oh man, my fish. Now, this is what I did at the time as an immature believer. I pulled out and I backed in. That is the sign you're not mature in the Lord. That long before I was even in San Antonio. But we need the accountability. So don't be an undercover Christian. Represent. And then relax. Relax. You're not alone. It's like being a kid and the world wants to pick a fight with you and you go, all right, let's fight. Because I got my brother here. And you know when you got the big brother there who's bigger than everybody else says, yeah, just touch my little brother. I feel pretty good. We have our big brother, our Lord, our Savior, the one who loves us. Jesus promised to guide you, to give you everything that you need, the words, resources, and strength to do his will. Let's trust him.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas.
For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have